Welcome to the Blood Cancer Experience, a podcast series presented by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada. This series connects people affected by blood cancers to their community with stories of hope, healing, and help.
Hi, I'm George Athens, your host for this ongoing series of podcasts presented by the LLSC. Today, we're speaking with several members of a faculty-supervised, student-led blood cancer research team at McMaster University in Hamilton. Our topic for discussion is a new type of therapy targeting B-cell lymphoma. We're joined by two of the 20-plus members of this research team. Thanks for joining us. Can you, each of you do a short introduction with your full name, field of study, and precise duty on this team?
Sure. So my name is Binjal. I'm a third-year mole bio and genetics student. I am a wet lab researcher as well as a general admin for the team.
And my name is Ryan. I'm a fourth-year biology student at McMaster University. My role in the team is the instructor who oversees training of protocols and techniques.
Well, once again, thank you for being our guests. Your research focuses on B-cell lymphoma. Why did you focus on that form of blood cancer?
So with B-cell lymphoma, it actually makes up a considerable amount of what's called non-Hodgkin's lymphomas, which impact the immune system. And it has been predicted that roughly 80,000 people in the United States will be diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphomas in 2022. So our goal was to target something that is quite prevalent in society and hopefully provide a suitable treatment that would help patients recover from it quickly, as well as in a, with fewer side effects.
So I guess by proportion, that's a type of cancer that's reasonably common in Canada too then, right?
Yeah, by extension, it is quite common. And actually the most common form of B-cell lymphoma, which is called diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, makes up about 25 to 30% of all non-Hodgkin's lymphomas. So it's quite common.
Who is supervising your project?
So we're supervised by Dr. Husseini Doust. She is an associate professor at McMaster University. She's actively doing research on engineering phages and general bioengineering in terms of gene therapy.
So the team, if you will, how was it selected? How did you come about to have this sort of group at this time?
I believe the team's been around for actually a few years. I think it started first a few years ago with some more senior members who have actually kind of almost returned to McMaster. I know there's an instructor now at McMaster that was one of like the first SynBio members, but that started a few years ago, and we've been cycling through students as they enter McMaster for their undergraduate degrees. And so usually we'll end up recruiting over the winter term. So these upcoming weeks would be some prime recruiting time for us. And by April, we end up having a solid team where we have a group of really passionate undergraduate students who really want to gain skills in synthetic biology. And that kind of just makes up our team of undergraduates with some supervision from PhD students. Right now, we're under supervision of Kyle Jackson, who's also a PhD candidate under Dr. Husseini Doust.
Wow. Sounds like a nice group of people. Can you give us a short and easy to understand description of your research project? Something that just about anybody would understand?
Of course. So the basic idea with our project is to take what's called a bacteriophage, which is a virus that's supposed to infect bacterial cells. We would modify it so that it would target those cancerous B cells and then hopefully destroy them. And that would include, modifications, adding DNA. But the general goal is we want to target the B cells that are cancerous, but at the same time, leave everything else that's healthy intact.
How far are you along with your research now, and how will it roll out, let's say, in a perfect scenario?
So before the contest we went to, we got to constructing the DNA, roughly two pieces coming together. But if we were to continue with it as well, theoretically, we would construct the rest of the DNA. We would put our cassette, which has all of our genes in it, into that structure, and then start to construct the phage itself. So at that point, once we've inserted the DNA into the phage, we would be ready to start testing it, for example, on maybe mouse models who have B-cell lymphoma. And then theoretically, we could then test it on humans in the clinical trials, but that would be quite far off from where we stopped with our project.
But ultimately, the goal would be a clinical trial?
Yes, if we continue with the project, ultimately we want to do a clinical trial and see how it would respond in human patients.
I understand you just got back from a conference in Paris. Can you tell us about that? Did you actually present your project there? And if so, how is that done?
So this past October, we ended up going to a competition called iGEM. It's one of the world's largest synthetic biology competitions because it includes both undergrads, high schoolers, and overgrads. And so there's around 350 teams from all over the world that end up coming to the conference and presenting, just like we did, their projects that involve synthetic biology of some sort to solve a real world problem. There were two types of presentations, technically three, where one we presented to a panel of judges who have various degrees. We had people from the industry, from academia, from human resources, social work, every sort of sector you can think of. And we presented that, and that was kind of like our main results sort of thing. And then we ended up also presenting two the entire village, quote unquote, village, which is a bunch of the teams that are in your section. So we felt under therapeutics, which is one of the track names for it. And so everybody who was in therapeutics and even people in other of the tracks could come and watch our presentation that we did in front of the floor. It's kind of like your standard presentation. We got a PPT, we have a time limit, we have a script. All of us kind of go through and really present what our situation was, what the problem really was, what we're trying to fix, and the science behind it. We were allowed to get as technical as we wanted because we were in a room full of really bright, young, and innovative students. And the same goes for when we were presenting for the judges.
How was your presentation received by your audience?
I think a lot of people interacted with our project idea on the floor, at least when we were presenting to our groups, because a lot of other groups had quite similar concepts where they were like, oh, like we know that there's a situation in the body or maybe in the world, and there's something that really identifies it. But when we use current treatments for it or current ideas to treat it, it kind of does a lot of side effects, doesn't really get to the targeted either cell type, or maybe if it's in agriculture, doesn't get to the right gene mutations or diseases. So we really want to focus in on it. And one of our ways of doing it, which was very different from everyone else's, is using an AAVP, whereas other people were using different other concepts. And that kind of really showed us that, you know, we have something that's not totally new territory, but our specifics to our project really differentiate us. And it was received well enough by the judges, at least, to help us get our second silver medal.
Oh, congratulations. I guess with this kind of research, everybody is, it's not like a competition. Everybody is trying to come up with an end result that's going to work, right? I mean.
Yeah, I would say the competition is, it's a competition for sure. There's definitely a competitive drive, but I feel like that really encourages students more to just do the best that they can, because in the end, we're all actually doing research that could potentially get into the market. It could become industrialized. I think the winner for this year, I think it was one of my favorite projects, was using making biodegradable nets from spider silk. And that could easily go into the market within the next 5 years. And like the science behind that, sort of their troubleshooting, and just the entire experience of going through making literal nets from spider silk as an experience kind of shows the rest of us what we can do better and how we can actually do a real world solution and not just think, oh, it's a competition. We don't have to do it as well as we want to, where it's like, no, this could be a real thing.
Well, that must have been a really nice opportunity for all of your team. So one final question for both of you. What inspires you to do this kind of research and contribute your expertise to the blood cancer community?
I can definitely answer that one. So I know from personal experience, I've actually received chemotherapy and radiation treatments. So that was kind of my driving factor to look into cancer and more specifically synthetic biology. I'm very passionate about learning how we can modify, you know, the human body in positive ways that can help with treatments, as well as, you know, modifications that could help with living in general. So I feel like I speak for the rest of the team when I say that we're all very passionate. We want to learn more about not just the field of synthetic biology, but about cancer, about medicine, and all sorts of other scientific fields. And then hopefully, you know, contribute to the wellness of patients as well as their families and the medical team that is helping them.
And with a personal connection. So that was a really nice way to wrap it up. Thanks, Ryan. And thanks, Binchelle. It's been a pleasure to speak with you, and continued success in all of your research. It's very inspiring.
Thank you very much.
If listeners have any questions about this podcast or the subject discussed today, or need any support or resources to navigate your experience, I encourage you to connect with a community services lead in your region. For more information, visit bloodcancers.ca. If you liked our podcast, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review. You can find us wherever you access your favorite podcasts. We also welcome any ideas for our program, so we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email with your suggestions or comments at info@bloodcancers.ca. Until next time, stay well and stay connected.
Thank you for listening to The Blood Cancer Experience, a series of podcasts presented by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada. We are committed to supporting the blood cancer community through programs, services, and research. This podcast is presented by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada.